goes white as she repeatedly glanced back and forth between the rearview mirror and the fuel gauge now pegged against the E.
"We're going to be walking soon," she said, nearly shouting to be heard over the roar of the engine.
They had been barreling south along Highway 10 for the past several minutes in an effort to escape their infected pursuers. From the quick glimpse they had been afforded, it appeared that only a small subset of the larger army had decided to give chase. Whether the remaining force would ultimately join in the hunt likely depended on whether burning the farm to the ground had quenched their fearsome leader's thirst for vengeance. Mason guessed that it hadn't. Locke and his butchers had done the unthinkable, and the unthinkable was awfully hard to make right. No doubt they had discovered that he had escaped, and were now hell-bent on tracking him to the ends of the earth to exact their retribution. Little did they know that Locke was already dead, thanks to an unlucky ricochet. Unfortunately, it wasn't the kind of development that Mason could easily convey to the army of bloodthirsty mutants. A simple sign that read, "Cannibal leader now dead, feel free to return home," seemed woefully ineffective. Even if the larger force decided not to move south, those manning the 24 vehicles already in pursuit would be more than enough to deal with a lone marshal and his oversized dog. Their only chance was to either evade or escape, both of which were significantly hampered by the fact that their getaway car was running dangerously low on fuel. Mason pulled himself up and stood on the passenger seat to get a better view of his surroundings. The wind buffeted against him, and he had to squint to keep from being lashed by his own hair. As far as the eye could see, there was nothing but farmland, trees, and the occasional abandoned house. There were no signs to offer direction, but having passed through Chuckatuck a few miles back, he knew that Suffolk lay directly ahead. Suffolk. The word caused his gut to clench. What had once been a quiet Virginia town was now, by all accounts, a haven for anarchists and criminals. While he had never enjoyed the dubious pleasure of actually visiting, anything nicknamed the Badlands wasn't at the top of his list of places to vacation, certainly not with a beautiful woman in tow. His eyes cut over to Brooke. If life could get any more complicated, he didn't see how. With her curly, short brown hair, slender, tight body, and a face as lovely as that of Audrey Hepburn, Brooke was as enticing as any woman he had ever known. Enticing, yes, but also duplicitous. She had betrayed him, even setting him up to be killed. Yet here he was, serving as her protector. Life, it appeared, was destined to have more turns than the Burr Trail, not to mention be equally as muddy. The Trans Am stuttered, and then the world suddenly became two octaves quieter as its engine stalled out.
"What now?" Brooke said, looking up at him.
He pointed to a driveway up ahead. "See if you can get us off the road." Brooke wrestled the wheel, steering the big car into a narrow driveway shrouded by thick evergreens. She let the car roll another 30 yards before it finally came to a stop in front of an old single-story cedar home. There were no vehicles in sight, and the siding lay smeared with long streaks of green mold, thanks to the canopy of trees overhead. Bowie propped his feet on the back of Mason's seat, eyes filled with excitement. "Go on, boy. This is the end of the line." The big wolfhound bounded from the car, running first one way and then the other, as if uncertain which direction might offer the most fun. Brooke climbed out of the Trans Am and studied the house. The curtains were pulled tight, and like most residences these days, there was a feeling of untended emptiness to it. A faded red and white swing set peeked around from the backyard, suggesting that the home had once enjoyed the laughter of young children.
"I like it."
She pointed to a small bed of wildflowers.
"Look, it even has a flower garden."
Mason swung his legs over the door and hopped down on the other side of the car, one hand clutching the pistol grip of his M4. "We're not here to play house." Brooke retrieved her father's Colt Python from where it lay on the dash and pressed it down into her waistband.
"No, I suppose not."
She glanced back toward the highway.
"Any chance we lost them?"
"I suspect